Okay, hello and welcome to the Break the Slate podcast. This is the podcast where we're going to be aiming to transform and inform the next generation of the acting and theater community. So I'm your host, Zaya, and today our first interview will be interviewing Mr. Bauman, a theater teacher I've known for a while since I've taken his class at Audie International School. He is the head of the performing arts as well as the theater teacher and director. And so we'll kind of be talking about everything from like how you got started in theater and like some your advice for young actors and like especially what you hope to see in the next generation of performers. You
All
ready?
right. Yep.
Okay, so for my first question, kind of basic, I would like you, could you tell us how you first fell in love with theater and performing arts?
I think I've always been kind of in love with it, but I come from Wisconsin. My dad was an electrician, very blue collar. So it wasn't something anybody in my family kind of thought could be practical or could lead to anywhere that might even be a career. But somewhere in the back of my head, it was just something I always enjoyed. I was not a super shy kid, like through middle school, but I was kind of quiet. And then one year, I think it was in eighth grade, they were doing some play about the bicentennial. And in my head, I thought, I'm going to do this. And I worked up all my courage and I went to this audition. And, I think I was kind of always able to get involved in the reality of what was going on in the play, separate from my own life. For some reason, that was easy for me. So I ended up getting kind of a good part in this eighth grade play. And it was the first time that I really felt like kind of like I found a place where I could excel.
That's really, I really like the fact that you said that because I feel like a lot of kids that are kind of in the theater and acting business can relate to what you said, that sort of deep-seated feeling that like this is what I'm meant to do. And so like while you were, when you began to pursue that and like when you told your parents and people around you, were they supportive of like your decision to go into that career path or was it more hesitant?
I think my parents have always been pretty supportive about everything, but I went away to undergraduate school still in Wisconsin as an advertising major. And kind of unbeknownst to my parents, I started auditioning for plays seriously while I was away at college. And I ended up doing just as much stuff in the theater department as I was doing in my own major. So by the end of my college career, I had a double major, both in theater and in advertising. So I still was not
Oh,
100% ready to like say, this is what I'm going to do.
that's really interesting. Like, wait, what college did you attend then?
I went to the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point for undergraduate, and then I went to UCLA for my graduate program.
Oh my God, UCLA is actually like my dream college. That's so interesting.
It's beautiful. I was in heaven the whole time I was there.
Oh, okay, that's really, I really like to hear that because I've been kind of on the fence about it, and so it's good to know that like you like it as well.
Yeah.
How do you think your own journey into acting and theater has sort of influenced the way that you teach now?
Yeah, so because of, I think going through undergraduate and then a graduate theater program is intense. They only chose 13 people for my graduate acting. So for 3 years of grad school, I was with the same 13 people every day. 12 hours a day doing plays, constantly doing classes, working on our voice, working on movement. So it was intense. And you really, you learn to become kind of unselfconscious about your own person because you're spending so much time working on the craft and becoming these other characters. And because that experience was so intense for me, I think I try to bring some of that intensity to high school theater work, even though it might be a little advanced for high school age actors. It's really the only way I can approach it. It's like, come on, let's everybody get unselfconscious, just commit to doing this. And I think sometimes I maybe force kids to do a little more than they're prepared for, but I think in the end, it actually serves them better.
I actually agree with that. I feel like you prepped us really well for like the eighth grade play, for example. I feel like it was a really, you did a really good job at like kind of getting everyone out of their heads before the show and stuff like that. So I think that was like, I really appreciate that thing that you brought. So on that note, since you did study like theater in college and stuff like that, what inspired you to end up becoming like a theater teacher and director, like at Audie?
So after I was done with my graduate degree in California, as the last year they put on a big showcase for all the talent agencies in LA, and I ended up getting my first commercial agent out of that job. And for about 5 or 6 years, I actually was doing so many commercials that I was making a living as a real actor in LA. But I think then in my summer times, I taught up at this program called Idlewild Arts in the mountains above Palm Springs. And it's kind of an international boarding school during the year. And then I was teaching theater and putting on plays during the summer. So I've always mixed in, even when I was like making enough work as money as an actor, I still was always teaching. So it's always been something I've loved. And some people say like, well, those people aren't successful, go to teach. I have never felt that way. I've always felt really passionate about teaching because I loved watching your eighth grade play and seeing those people who succeeded and, really sort of went outside of themselves and kind of found some new power, some new energy. And that has always really made me feel just as fulfilled as some of the acting I did.
That's so beautiful. I love that's a really good that's a really nice thing to say. I feel like I would like agree with that take. I feel like it's like a that sounds like it'd be like a really fulfilling thing to like feel like see all your hard work go into someone else's like hard work and then it all kind of like flowers and become something more beautiful. And in the case of like where you taught earlier and like where you are now and where you went to college, would you recommend so for like maybe like rising juniors or anyone who's kind of coming up on that like college process and they're aiming to major or eventually end up in the theater department, would you recommend California or college-wise like as a location?
Yes, so some people go the route of like getting a teaching degree, and you can do that. But a lot of the good schools, a lot of the private schools require or prefer somebody with a master's degree. So, I think if you want to keep on acting in a program and getting your master's degree, and I've never regretted it even once, even when my parents made a little bit of fun of me, like, what are you going to do with a master's in theater and in acting? I have never regretted it. It was the best, 3 years of my life. Because it was so intense. And I think, you could, if you're going to go the route where you still kind of want to act as well as teach. And I have to say too, it's just a much better in private schools like Audie International. It's just they compensate their teachers a lot better. Like if I was a college teacher in drama, I would be making a lot less than what they, sort of pay at Audie. And that's a weird thing. You would think a college professor would be making so much more, but I think private schools really value somebody who has a lot of experience in what they're teaching at the school.
Yeah, that's an interesting difference to consider, like the public and the college versus like private schools.
Yeah.
And what's your opinion on, I've had this debate with some of my friends and some of like my family members is like the acting scene in like New York versus like Los Angeles or California. From what I've gathered, it's that like New York is kind of home to more of like the deep, intensive like theater studies, like, Juilliard's there, they have NYU Tisch. And then I feel like California seems like it seems like it would be more directly tied to the industry, but in your opinion, which one do you think would have a greater impact? Or do you think it depends on like what your like end goal is studying there?
Yes, I think it's two completely different markets. There is like a commercial market in New York, but it's mainly stage, and that's where I think a lot of better acting training probably can be found in New York, unless you're in a grad school like UCLA or USC. But if and some people's acting is more suited to film and television as opposed to the theater. Like in this class, when I was pushing you guys, I'm like, project, project, and that is part of like the New York theater training. Whereas if you're going to LA, where most of the stuff's going to be on film and camera, it's more about being subtle and just kind of being yourself and finding like a relaxation. Like right now on this microphone, I don't have to talk much louder than this. But if I was in a big outdoor theater, I would have to be booming. And to tell you the truth, I've never had a huge voice. Even though I've done way more theater than like film and television. So it's been I've really had to kind of train myself to get a better speaking voice. When I first went away to college, I had a strong Wisconsin accent. And one of my very favorite teachers at UCLA said to me, if you don't lose that accent, you can't play anybody intelligent. But because I had my O's and my A's were really long, and this is kind of how I really talked. And you do so much vocal training at college that you learn to have a just get rid of any really local accents.
Oh my, that's really funny, especially considering like I was very intimidated when you told us like that we had to be booming and we had to be like this huge big personality in order to like thrive in that theater setting. And it's really interesting knowing that you also came from having to learn that and you ended up teaching us. That's really nice to think about.
Yeah, but if you went to California and it was about film and television, you would have to just get rid of a lot of what I said and just find your own kind of natural, simple voice that communicates to the camera and not to a huge audience of 200 or 300 people.
As a theater teacher and director, what would you say has been like your proudest moment, whether it's like a student, like taking your advice and kind of taking on that role, or like seeing your vision come to life with something that you wanted to direct, just like stuff like that?
I don't know if it's my proudest moments, but I have had a couple of students. I actually had a woman approach me when we did The Royal Family just recently, the upper school play. And this woman came up to me in the audience and she t tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Do you remember me?" And I didn't. She had a husband and a child with her, but she said, "You were my teacher at Idlewild Arts when I was 12 years old." And she reminded me of the play that I had done. So that kind of, was a very, happy coincidence. And I've actually seen a couple of kids that I taught when they were quite young, now starting to be successful on Broadway, or I've seen them on some, Lifetime movies and stuff in medium to small parts. And that just always kind of makes me proud. I'm not saying that I had anything to do with it, probably was their own determination, but it still makes you feel good when they're being successful.
No, yeah, I feel like you've definitely had a hand in it. I feel like, at least in my experience, like after that theater class, I feel like especially like this year and near the ending of like last year's, I've become a more like social person. I'm not as afraid to kind of express like how I feel about things or like just myself in general in like public settings. And so I'm pretty sure I could attribute theater to that and all of our warm up exercises.
Yeah. I really do think part of what's really good about theater too, it just if you can convince, not convince, just make students see that their opinions are as strong as anybody else's, and you can't let outside influences diminish you as an actor, as a person. You got to get rid of those outside voices because your voice is the only one you're going to get through the rest of your life with. So that should be the most important voice.
That I really like that. People should quote that. Oh my God, the outside influences, they always
Yeah.
get to you. Speaking of outside influences, like that impact on your career in acting, what has been one of the biggest challenges that you faced in your career, whether it be through teaching or before that, or
So I guess maybe I'll just talk about as a professional actor in Los Angeles. When you, let's say, the commercial audition called for a businessman of 40 years old in a blue suit, and then you have like four lines of copy, and you go to these big commercial warehouses where they're auditioning everything, and you walk in, and there's 50 guys that look just like you, and they're all wearing a blue suit, and you start to think to yourself, "What? How am I? I'm not going to get this." You kind of start to let this negative voice maybe take over, and that's really hard to fight against, especially if you're not super successful right away. Some people just are. Something happens and they skyrocket into their career. Most people are not that way. I'm fortunate enough to be a union member in SAG-AFTRA, but if everybody even in the union, only 10% make enough to make a living every year. So it is it's a risky choice, but it was something that I could not avoid. It's just I knew I had to do it.
oh, wow. Yeah, I could see that being like a very big issue. If there's like so many people, then like you know that you'd like to be the one among many, but there's never that guarantee. I feel like that's why acting is like so hesitant to be like kind of uplifted as a career because of its like sort of like you're not really ever sure what you're gonna get. It could be the most successful thing you've ever done. It could skyrocket your life to a whole other like world, or it could be not as successful, and then that leaves people with doubts. But I
And
still feel it's very
it's
important.
your job not to let it bring you down or to make you unhappy. And if you ever get too unhappy, then maybe it is time to, take a different direction. You got to just listen to what's going on, and make sure you stay happy.
Is there like a piece of advice that you'd recommend that every young actor hears, whether it be like to uplift them or just in general?
This is maybe a kind of a common fact that you see whenever you're looking up actors, but they say you usually have to do 50 auditions to get one booking. And so if you keep that in mind, then maybe you can kind of not let any rejection bring you down if you truly realize that everybody has to go through 50 auditions before one kind of happens for you. And also just, do the audition and then try your best to kind of let it go and just keep moving on with whatever's going on in your day or the next audition. But you can't kind of get caught up in the, I wonder what I did wrong. Maybe I should have looked more like that. Maybe I should have acted more like that. Just keep doing it if you want to, for as long as you can, but try not to, keep replaying in your mind about what could have or should have happened.
That's really good advice. I've heard something similar to that. Like it's like an actor. I forget who it was. Oh, someone was having an interview and they talked about how like their mom or someone told them like it's like you get your first booking after like 64 auditions, and so she just started counting down, and then eventually she got it, and it was kind of like a big moment. But I feel like that's the confidence really is key. That's probably the most important thing when it comes to this career. Is there at Audie specifically, or maybe before that, is there like a production you've directed that kind of has really stuck with you that you feel like a accurately represents your work in the best way?
I mean, I kind of like them all for different reasons, but there was something about Dracula. I mean, I ended up changing it because I had a little group of Chinese actors. So I ended up changing. Dracula was not in Transylvania, it was set in China. And Dracula was Chinese, and two or three of his wives were played by Chinese actors. And I had them actually change some of the dialogue into Chinese. So, I'm often willing to change a script to kind of fit on the actors who I've cast. And I want them to shine in the best light. So I will do whatever I have to do to adapt to help them, bring out their strengths.
I really like the fact that you did that, especially because like Audie's an international school, and I feel like that like very accurately represents kind of like us as like a group of people. And I feel like that was I really like that. So secondly, is there a certain show or production play that you would really like to direct in the future, the near future?
I was going to, I suggested last year a play called Spring Awakening, but it's very edgy and it might be a little too mature. So I was sort of, nobody forced me to, but it was suggested that maybe I find an alternative because maybe not a lot of, especially parents, might be ready for that kind of play. But I do love that play, and it was turned into a musical, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And it's a beautiful musical, but it de deals with some very adult themes that were maybe too far above high school age actor.
I remember talking to you about that in our class.
So I still love that play. Sometime in my life, I will direct it.
I believe that you will. So another thing, I was just wondering, what do you think is maybe like, besides doubting themselves, what do you think is the most common mistake that you'd see young actors or like theater people make?
I think young actors don't try to find their character's reality from real life. I don't know if I got that into that much with you in like 8th grade, but now with my 9th, 10th grade acting classes, whenever they're going to work on a scene or create a character, I'm like, find some movement from real life. Walk around this campus. You can find probably 15 people who have a very unusual, way of walking or way of talking. And you can find that and bring that into the character. So, use real life, use your own real life, use the real life of people around you to help you create a character from the inside out. Sometimes I see young actors doing it from the outside in. And for certain types of theater, it is from the outside in. But if you're going to be a good actor, you have to have a whole inner life going on as well.
Okay, so just like to really connect and deepen your like yourself and your memory within the character that you're playing.
Yes, and try to think what the character thinks. Some people get so far into their acting that they kind of live like the character. Do you know the actor Shia LaBeouf?
Oh yeah.
I heard of him, but he was in some movie a few years ago and was playing a homeless person. And I guess he lived on the streets of LA with the homeless population for about a month. Now, I'm not saying you need to go that far, but some people do. You know, some people
Oh,
really,
the method acting.
method acting, try to find the reality. And sometimes it's in, you might be bringing your own life a little too far to the edge because of it, but some people will go that far.
Yeah, I feel like method acting is really, I feel like it would be really helpful in theory, but it's like, it also seems like it'd be easy to kind of get lost in that world depending on the kind of character you're playing. Like I remember I heard about like the Joker role. A lot of the people who played that, they had kind of issues after the fact with like how they perceived themselves, which was kind of worrying.
And I think some people say that contributed to Heath Ledger's suicide or death. Yeah.
On the note of kind of like that balance, how would you recommend that students and or like working actors balance like that life or that school and that like theater commitment, like outside of school or
Yeah,
other.
I mean, I think you have to, while you're in it, while you're working on it, you have to be completely immersed. But then and I know some actors do this, like when they're done for the day of an intense film or an intense play, they go home, they take about a half an hour to come down and get out of that character and get back into themselves. And, that might sound too, freaky actor behavior, but sometimes you do. You have to just kind of let the character go and then get back into your own real life and know that they're separate and reward, treat yourself well as just who you are when you're not acting.
Yeah, I feel like it would be easier to kind of like lose yourself at like a young age if you're kind of playing these like heavy films a lot, which like then again, that is kind of like a small percentage of the population who's being in these big films at like young ages. But I still feel like it's like very important to have that kind of separation between your work life and like home or yourself life.
Yeah. And I think the younger actors who stay balanced have people in their lives, like their parents or friends or people who really watch out for them. So if you're a young actor and you're kind of on your way up, don't let go of your family and have somebody around you who's going to take care of you.
Okay. Then I would like to ask, how important do you think like a formal education is like for an acting career? Like obviously you did like at UCLA and before that you weren't really into acting, but like obviously there are some people who get like scouted out of high school and then they go and like have these big films, like these child stars, but how important do you think that like formal university and college education is for an acting career?
Well, I mean, I have loved when I was in, 4 years of undergraduate school and 3 years of college. I think I've already said it. To me, it felt like my most successful years on the planet. I was around these people who were as passionate about what they were doing as I was. So that's always been really important and it's really meaningful to me. But I know that there are a million ways to get where you want to go. So there are some people who just, they at 17, they feel I'm moving to New York and I'm going to make it. And they go through a lot, but maybe they make it, So it's everybody's different. I don't think there's any better way, but I do think just education is important. So
Yeah.
I might just fall on the side of get an education too, but it doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah. So would you say like taking like acting intensive acting classes outside of school is really beneficial?
Yes. I think if you scene study, scene study, scene study, find a good acting teacher, monologue study, whatever. The more you do, the better you're going to get at it. And if you do it early on, you'll learn the truth much sooner. You'll have a stronger connection so that when you get a little older, everything will make more sense to you if you have early good training.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's important. I take acting classes at Page Parks, like the agency that's kind of based in Houston, and I feel like that's really helped me like so far, like after, especially after like taking your class, it's kind of like a nice way to hone those skills. Do you know of any other like whether it be agencies or like just like theaters in Houston that are kind of open to having like either whether it be like summer intensives or just like classes on the side?
I know the Alley does. So when I was casting Dracula, the year before that, Steve Huang, I think was his last name. He was the guy who played Dracula, and he had too strong of a Chinese accent. And he's like, "What should I do, Mr. Bauman? I want to audition." I said, "Go take this class at the Alley Theater and really work on minimizing your Chinese accent and expanding on sort of just a more clear accent." He went to this program in that summer and came back the next year completely changed. He was like way more confident. His voice was projected and clear. And I mean, he still had a bit of a Chinese accent, but I could tell he had worked on it intensely. And that
Okay,
was,
Alley Theater.
yeah.
I will
And
note that.
he acted from the inside out, believe it or not. You know, Dracula can be kind of a melodramatic, but he made every choice from the inside out. And I could tell part of that came from his training at the Alley.
Okay, that's perfect. Okay, wow, good. Because like I've like reached out to some of these theaters, like the Alley Theater. I reached out to Hits Theater. There's Wildfish, and I'm kind of hopefully next year the club will have. This club will have like grown to the extent that we can kind of go on visits to these theaters, and we're hoping to like fund their summer intensive. So it's really nice that you're like giving me an extra theater to think about.
I want to know if you've done at the place you're setting right now, do you do some scene work?
Yeah. I
What's the
have a
last scene you worked on?
the last scene. So we did commercial a few weeks ago. That one, I can't say that one was my favorite. That was a little bit difficult because there was a lot of like exaggerating because, obviously we had to like kind of sell like what we were well selling. And then most recently we've worked on our monologues. I have one monologue that's kind of more comedic. It's from Gossip Girl. It's the
Okay.
scene where Blair is talking to like the priest. And then my other monologue, I'm not sure where it's from. I haven't asked them yet. But it was kind of different for me considering like especially in like in the play that I had with you, like the fairy godmother, she's kind of also a more comedic character. And I think I do play those roles well, but my monologue that I've been like working on heavily now is about this girl. And so she's telling this story about, it's like 60 seconds. She's telling the story about how her grandmother passed away and like we went to visit her in Florida and she was like playing with this garden hose and like she saw like a rainbow because like when you have the water in the sun. But then in that rainbow, she saw her grandmother, and I'm kind of just like telling that story and talking about how my mom didn't believe me, but like I know what I saw. And it was really interesting because the first time I did it, sorry, I don't mean to like keep on
No,
talking about myself,
I'm interested.
but it was really interesting because my teacher, Miss Wendy, she told me, like, I said it the first time, I couldn't really get into it. And she said to imagine someone else that I had lost instead of my grandmother, since like all my grandmothers are alive, thank goodness. So I thought and spoke about my dog instead. And that just like transformed the whole scene. Like I started crying real tears. And it was just like really like a much easier way to get into it than I had ever thought that I could have. And she was like very proud of me. And I was very proud of me too.
And even that is a great replacement to think about, anything important to you. But if you feel like you come into some place and you're like, I don't know, I've never felt anything like that. You can also research and find real people who have gone through that, and you can watch them. And sometimes I'm just as moved by like watching somebody who's relating some difficult experience they went through, and I watch how they behave physically. I watch what that emotion does to their voice. And then when you go to recreate it, you don't feel just as cheap, like you're just making it up, because you really have a real life person to kind of that you have drawn from. And so that's can be a good, useful tool as well.
Yeah, it was a really like completely different perspective than I had thought about it. And I feel like as I keep going along like this path, I feel like it'll be really helpful in the future. Okay, I have just two final questions for you. First of all, I would like to know like what do you hope that just like your students, whether it be me or like all your other upcoming eighth graders, ninth graders, what do you hope that we're taking away from like your program and how you've kind of like coordinated this like theater thing that you've like made?
I do think that good acting, a good play, it all teaches you to be empathetic and to get outside of yourself and see the life, the world through a different perspective. And most of the time, if you're doing kind of a normal job, that's not called for. But in acting, it is absolutely called for. You have to look at somebody else's life other than your own and find out what's important to them, which may be different than what's important to you. So I think it weirdly does teach you to be very empathetic to other people, or it should, if you're doing it, in the right way. And I think if I see anybody doing that or feeling that in a play, or really, grabbing onto a character that's different than them, I'm really proud.
That's beautiful. That like empathy, that's really important for like actors to have, especially. Okay, last, just kind of like a closing question. Do you have or have you had, and what's your favorite like pre-show or pre-play, like any of it, like a ritual that you do? Have you had anything that like you kind of do every single time, just to whether it was like to get the nerves out or anything of the sort?
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever I see, and it still happens. I mean, especially high school kids, you'll see them, they'll come into a room, they're about to do a play, and they're all sitting and they're on their phones. And it's a little frustrating because that's not going to help. And and that's like not, you're still stuck in your own life. Take a few minutes before you're going to do a play, set aside your own life, set aside the tools, and stand up, get your voice going, get your movement going. You can't be sitting in a chair 20 minutes before you go on to do this really active, intense play and expect that it's going to be like an easy transition if you're not ready to go. Actors are athletes, and an athlete would never be sitting in a chair and then go run a 100-yard dash. It just
Yeah.
never happened. So I think actors have to start comparing it to being an athlete, and you have to be ready to do it both vocally and physically and creatively.
Okay, thank you. I will definitely keep that in mind. So thank you so much, Mr. Bauman, for sharing like your insights and your stories and opinions with us. I've learned a lot, and I hope that everyone who will be watching this will also learn a lot too. And so thank you for watching, and that is a wrap.
Thank you, Zanaya.